Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson with a little dip into the Old Testament. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father." And going on from there. It is an absolutely amazing thing that Jesus has done for us, giving us the privilege of prayer. And he does this right to the point by teaching us to say, Father. If you look in the Old Testament, you will not find a lot of verses in the Old Testament where that relationship between God and man is described as the relationship of father to children. There's a few mentions in the Psalms, but it has to do mostly with the kingship in Israel or with widows and orphans. There is one mention in Malachi that talks about God as the creator of all, but the idea that God is our father, that this is an intimate relationship, this really gets opened up only when Jesus comes along. There's a reason for that, isn't there? And the reason is because of the relationship within the Trinity. That is the relationship of God the Father, God the Son. And that relationship is what Jesus is drawing us into. You could say we are adopted into the family of God, given the privileges of children. In fact, this goes so far in modeling the relationship after who Jesus is that the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 8, in about three verses, says to the Christians at Rome, "You are all sons of God," which is kind of odd because he was talking to both men and women, boys and girls, in that verse. And then a few verses later he says, "You are all children of God." And he asks, why does Paul do that both of those ways? And the answer is because it's all modeled on the relationship of Jesus to his Father. So the language sort of leaks over into our life. And if that's so, then we are given the privilege of not only saying Father, but also Dad, Abba. The Spirit cries with our spirit, Abba, Father, and so gives witness to our being children of God. Romans 8 again. Where'd this all come from? Very important question. Where'd this all come from? And there are two places. One is the Lord's Prayer. Pray in this way, Father, or our Father, who art in heaven. And Easter morning. This is where it really gels up and solidifies and locks in. It's Jesus outside the tomb. He's risen from the dead. There's Mary Magdalene standing there weeping and crying and not recognizing him and saying, "Where have you put the dead body of Jesus?" And Jesus saying to her, "Mary," and Mary saying, "Rabboni," and grabbing onto him. And here it comes. Jesus says, "Do not cling to me. I have not yet ascended to heaven. But go and tell my brothers." See how that is? Now in the family. "Go and tell my brothers I ascend to my Father and your Father. To my God and your God." So you being a child of God, a son, a daughter of God, and given the privilege of saying, Father, that is put into place, that is established, that is founded on the death and resurrection of Jesus, making you who you are and what you are. That's the first part. All of the rest of prayer is details. What we need, what we pray for, what we call out to God for. And those details are guided by the Scripture so that we may know what to pray for, how to pray, what are the petitions that are pleasing to God, what things we shouldn't be praying for. But especially the pattern of prayer that is given to those who are called and made children of God. As children of God, prayer for us is not, God, I want this, God, I want that, God, I want the other thing. As children of God, prayer comes from a relationship. And if you are in a relationship with God, seriously in a relationship with God, that relationship is a two-way thing. There's the influence of God upon your life that then guides you in prayer and leads you in your life. Again, Martin Luther, I want God's thoughts to be my thoughts. Probably a better translation. I want God's thoughts to become my thoughts. I want God's desires to become my desires. I want to be changed by my relationship with God so that in all things I am walking with God and He is guiding me through this life. So that, here's the big idea, so that my life is not a life of this and that and the other detail. So that instead of all of that, my life is a life lived in the presence of God with eternal things happening all through it, an eternal relationship with matters of heaven and life and eternity and what is right and true and good and all of those things being part of my life. I want my life and every little part of it to be drawn into that relationship, including all of those things that, are they too little for God? Are the prayers too little for God? Never. So that God may guide us in everything in life. That's part two. Part three. Given that privilege of prayer, how does it play out? A little dip into the Old Testament lesson. Abraham bargains with God. 50? What about 45? What about 40? What about 30? What about 20? What about 10? Abraham bargains with God. Does Abraham move or change the will of God? It looks at first like he is, but then when Abraham gets to, but Lord, what if there are 10 only? And it's like God saying, well done, Abraham. Now you've got me exactly where I want you. And he was always there to begin with, and Abraham didn't realize that, did he? So with our lives, God invites us to wrestle with him. Better translation in that gospel lesson, the importunity, the boldness in pestering the friend. The friend, he may not want to get up, but because of the boldness, because of the pestering, he will. And Luther says, and God has invited us to pester him. anything and everything in life. He calls us to come to Him. And so we come to Him. And now what about those times in life where we don't seem to hear that answer, we don't seem to see that response? What then? This is why Jesus tells that story. Because there are those times in life. There are a lot of times as Christians that we absolutely need to know from the lips of God to our ears. God saying, I hear you. I know what you're praying. The Psalm of David, before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Jesus saying, your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask Him. He's already there. But when we don't see the answer right away, when the answer doesn't come in the way that we would expect, then it is incredibly important for us to hear words and promises from God, to know that those words and promises are spoken by Jesus, to further know that those words and promises are built on, paid for, connected to the cross and the blood and the suffering and death of Jesus, that the promise and the answer is connected and linked up to the resurrection of Jesus, where He says, my Father and your Father, and now you are family, you are adopted in, you are part of all of this. Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So as you ask, trust Him to know that need. Trust Him why? Because of Jesus. He proved His love for us by handling the most incredible need that we had, to be brought back from being lost and doomed. And now, is anything too small or great for God? Is there anything in your life that He doesn't care about? If you doubt, wait for the day when you see the nail-marked hands of Jesus, and those doubts will be gone. In Jesus' name, Amen.